Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The minority leader in the New York State Senate, Rob Ort. Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Lots going on. I want to start, before we get to state issues, Senator, your thoughts on the first few days of the Trump administration.
Well, I think it's been, he's probably done more in the first few days than maybe Joe Biden did in 4 years, but he's keeping his promises. I mean, you look at the executive orders. None of these should be overly surprising, especially as it relates to immigration. That is, to me, that is the singular issue. I mean, there's a lot of issues every time there's a presidential campaign or any campaign, but a lot of, very often you can sort of boil it down to, one or two major issues. I think it was the economy, and I think it was the border and the lack of a coherent immigration policy, of a secure border under 4 years of Joe Biden, which is why people, one of the big reasons why so many people, including a popular majority, turned to President Trump. And so early on, you're seeing that new immigration policy and a lot of that triggered by the executive orders that President Trump signed. So I think it's a great start. A lot of his nominees are getting through, Pete Hegseth, obviously Marco Rubio, Lee Zeldin, Elise Stefanik. So you're going to see a lot of that. You're going to see that his cabinet continue to take shape. And then I think, over the next few weeks and that, you'll really start to see his administration take hold of the government, of the country. And I think that's going to be a great thing. It's going to be a great 4 years.
Senator, speaking of the economy, I was working out this week. I look up, and for some reason, my gym always has Spectrum News. Nothing against Spectrum News, but, 1 p.m, I'd like to see something else. Anyway, Governor Hochul's up on the screen unveiling her $252 billion budget, and she says the focus of this very expensive budget is the cost of living. In a summary, what are your thoughts on this proposal?
So, it's hard to, for me, to put into words how completely disconnected the governor's words are from what the governor does. And I don't know that that's necessarily always a duplicitous attempt. I just think that there's a complete lack of understanding of how we improve our economy, how we make New York less expensive, how we make New York more affordable. The only answer that Governor Hochul and the Democrats in the state Senate, state legislature have, the only answer is to spend more money and also spend it on things and enact policies that drive up costs at the same time. So the governor's budget is $8 billion more than last year's budget, than the adopted budget. Now, this is before the state Senate and state assembly and Democrats in those houses have even got their fangs in this budget. So you got to believe it's going to go up even more. So you're talking about, $10 billion increase in spending. The budget's already up 16% since 2022. And I've said this a million times, affordability and government spending, you cannot make things more affordable by spending more of people's tax dollars. If it was that simple, doesn't mean we spend no money, but if it was that simple, we would be the most affordable state in the country because our budget is larger than Florida and Texas put together, yet they have more people. And we spend 1.5 times what the state of California spends in their budget. So if spending was the formula for making New York more affordable, then we'd already be the most affordable state. But it's not. Because as we spend more and more money, we make New York less affordable, more expensive. We drive more businesses and more people out of this state, which means you have fewer people to even pay the tab for this gargantuan budget. And it really doesn't do anything to address, I don't believe, the major, major issues facing New York.
Yeah, she talks about making it cheaper and the cost of living better. But it seems like the state's answer, Senator, is just to hand you more money instead of actually give the breaks to the people that could make everyday life cheaper.
Yeah, so she's putting forward, you know, the old rebate check, right? The inflation reduction proposal, where you'll get anywhere between a one-time $300 or $500 paycheck. Keep in mind that those who are in this state illegally received more than that monthly. So down in New York City with the gift cards and the health care and the housing. So that's really almost a slap in the face when you do that kind of side-by-side comparison. I mean, people will take it. Sure, I'll take $500. But that is not going to reduce inflation or you know, limit the impact inflation is having on people's wallets. The tax cut, the middle-class tax cut, is phased in over 2 years. People need relief now. We have to be, she talks about being bold. The only thing bold is the total amount of spending. You know, if we really were about being bold, to your point, we would cut taxes and don't do a 2-year phase in. Do it now, immediate. People need immediate help. They need immediate relief. They don't need relief 2 years from now. Some of that's a political calculation because, of course, the governor's running for reelection in 2 years. But that you know, isn't going to cut it. And then obviously, there's policies around energy, around spending, around illegal immigrants. We're not tackling the crime issue. So there's a lot of things this budget is not going to tackle or not addressing fully. And I just don't think the economic policies to make New York more affordable are either enough or really anything at all.
That was my next question, because she says that, you know, she's going to focus on cost of living and crime. But outside of the New York City subway, I do fail to see where statewide this bill is cracking down on crime.
Yeah, first of all, you can't talk about cracking down on crime in New York without addressing a couple of things. Cashless bail, you know, bail laws changes, discovery changes, and then I think also the sanctuary city policies, the sanctuary state policies that prevent our law enforcement from working together. You cannot do anything about crime substantially without addressing each one of those or some variation of those. And this budget, of course, makes no attempt to do that. The subways, you know, obviously we're all familiar, a lot of us, with the crime that's gone on in the subways. But the reality is those laws I just talked about are what's contributing to that, first of all. And then secondly, you have you don't have enough police officers and resources down there. She's talking about putting in LED lights, which, you know, is great, but what is that really going to do to stop crime in the subway? What is that going to do to make people ride the subway more, to make them feel safer? They've instituted the congestion pricing scheme, which obviously is taking more money out of people's pockets to even go into Manhattan. So this budget does not really do, and this is sort of indicative of the governor. She sort of says the right thing. She knows the points she has to talk about, but the substance, the policy, the spending just do not back up what she's trying to do. Now, that means either she doesn't know or you know, there's a more cynical or feckless aspect to it. So it's one of those two. But the substance and the policy and the spending do not match the words and the rhetoric.
Speaking of the back to the making it more affordable, she had this plan. It seemed like the week I was in for Bowerly, every day was the governor coming out with something that was going to make life cheaper for us. One was the making associate degrees covered by the state if you're between the ages of 25 and 55. Is that still in this budget? And what are your thoughts on that?
So that is in this budget. She rolled that out. Several years ago, you might remember, some of your listeners might remember, Governor Cuomo did an Excelsior, it was called the Excelsior College Plan. And it was, the premise was to get more people to go to college and make it more affordable to go to college. The reality was it did nothing of the sort. No, I don't think anyone went to college that wouldn't have anyways. I don't think anyone that didn't go suddenly went because of this program. At the time, I actually made a comment that, you know, if you're going to do something, make community college free or more affordable. We have great community colleges in New York. Drive people to those schools, and then they'll make the decision whether they want to go on and get a 4-year degree or not or whatever. So the concept, I actually, Senator Rob Ort, is very open to that. I got to see, you know, what is the actual cost of this in light of the fact that we're spending now.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Oh, $250+ billion. You got to be able to show you can pay for that, that there's a sustainability financially for that. So, you know, taken as a in a vacuum, you know, that's an interesting concept. If the goal is to, you know, reduce whether it's this, you know, the debt that students take out when they graduate from four-year schools or they don't graduate from four-year schools. But I think the issue becomes what is the tab for New Yorkers for something like this? So in and of itself, I'm not going to sit there and say no way. But I think we need to see what that cost is. The same with, she's talking about free meals, for school age kids, regardless of economic background. So whether you're a wealthy family or you're a poor family, you get free meals. And then to some people that might sound great, but again, what does that cost for a state that already spends $36,000 per pupil, which is what New York spends? So those are all the tough questions that we have to sort of dig through here over the next several weeks.
Now, you talked about this is just the proposed. Obviously, it goes through. How much more did the budget go up last year from what the proposed budget was to what finally got signed?
Let's see. If I recall, Joe, I want to say the final budget, the difference between the final budget and her budget was probably $3 to $5 billion more.
Wow!
Right. So, I mean, now look at if she's willing to dig in and say this is it, I'm not increasing the spending level. That's one thing. But I've almost never seen that happen. Her Governor Cuomo almost always. That's why her proposal was surprising to me, because usually governors come in a little bit tighter because they know the legislature is going to want to add things in there. And so to come in $8 billion more, you're looking at $10 to $12 billion increase year over year between last year's budget and whatever is adopted this year. And again, this proposal is already 16% higher than the enacted 2022 budget. So you're looking at maybe, 17, 18, 19% increase when this is, whose paychecks are up 20% in 2 years? Whose household budgets are up 20% in 2 years? What business is up 20% in 2 years? This is the issue, is that the Democrats in Albany, there's ultimately only one answer they have to whatever problem it is: spend more money. That's the only answer. I've been there long enough to see it. The only solution, there's no creativity to this. It's just spend more taxpayer dollars, increase people's taxes, soak them more, spend more. We're going to do more as a result. That's their thought process. And so the more money we spend, the more good we're doing. But New Yorkers have said otherwise, right? People are leaving this state. And I always go back, why is New York State so much more expensive to run than other states, including states that have more people? Why is it more expensive? Do we get more for living here in New York? Do we get better services? Do we get more from our education system? Do we get a better economy? I would say in a lot of those answers, the answer is no.
You posted on X a few days ago. It got a like from me. Voter ID laws are approved by 84% of Americans, or supported by 84% of Americans. Is there any support for voter ID laws on the other side of the aisle amongst the Democrats in Albany?
You know, I would be willing to bet among some that there are. I think some of the Democrats are afraid to actually come out and say that. So this has become sort of we're going to die on this hill if you're a Democrat. You can't. There's something within the Democratic Party, I think nationally, statewide, where they determined that to give up and to acknowledge that voter ID isn't going to suppress the vote. It's going to secure elections. It's going to give Americans reassurance and peace of mind that the people who are voting are the people they say they are. It would make it easier for our boards of elections to know who's casting ballots if they already casted a ballot. 84% of Americans across the country. Many states have voter ID. So this is not a, in fact, I think it's might be well over 25, maybe even over 30 states have voter ID. So this is not some, you know, wild idea. And there's bills that I have that would give you an ID. If you didn't have one and you wanted to vote, fine. We'll provide a government ID for the purposes of voting. There's other bills that would allow affidavit voting. You just swear to an affidavit, which is a legal document that you are who you say you are. But there are ways, the idea that there's not a way to secure elections and have voter ID in 2025, when you and I both know and your listeners know, you need an ID for everything. I mean, really, the most petty of things, boarding an airline, going to get something, you know, cigarettes or whatever it is at a store. There's so many little things that you need ID for. And no one like loses their mind over. They have the ID. They show it. They are who they are. And they move along. The idea that in 2025, the most significant thing we do as Americans, cast our vote, that you can't just pull an ID out and say, I, in fact, am Joe Beamer. I am Rob Ort, and I'm here to cast my vote. I just fail to see what the problem with that is. And the more Democrats fight it, the more I think it belies this idea that they're doing something wrong, that there's some political reason why they don't want it. And I think Americans are wise to that. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, the average person out there, 84% of Americans, that means a lot of Democrats are in that poll that show that even Democrats, you know, regular folks, not elected officials, that they would support some form of voter ID. And I think we're going to keep pushing that and talking about that and trying to put pressure on Democrats to at least, consider moving that direction.
I got to ask you this. I should have asked this as like one of my first questions, but this week, the Lake and Riley Act passed. It had to go back to the House for another vote. And Congressman Tim Kennedy, who you both share parts of your district, voted against it. I want to know your thoughts on the Lake and Riley Act and Congressman Kennedy casting a vote against it.
Well, it's disappointing. I mean, it really is. It's disappointing. I know Tim, obviously a Democrat who served in the state Senate. You know, we have different views on probably a lot of issues. But we have a very similar, a similarly named bill in Albany called the Lake and Riley Act, which goes to the same core issue. The idea that we're providing sanctuary to people like Jose Ibarra, who was convicted of killing Lincoln Riley, instead of providing a sanctuary for people like Lincoln Riley. That's really what this comes down to. It comes down to the idea that we aren't going to tolerate, nor do we think criminals and people who are here in this country illegally, who commit additional crimes, should remain here. And those folks should be deported, should be sent back to their country of origin. The fact that that not only he, but others voted against it, again, just very disappointing. I don't understand what the argument is for voting against it besides, you know, sort of fear mongering. This really happened. Lake and Riley was a real person, a real young lady whose life was snuffed out by someone who was in police custody here in New York, who was in the country illegally, who came into further police contact, not because he was illegal, because he was committing additional crimes when he was here. He was arrested. He was released. No one from federal government was notified. He went to Georgia and he killed that young girl. There's no two ways about it. Policies like we have here in New York that Democrats have supported for years are why Lake and Riley is not here today.
Senator, well, one more question for you. And you mentioned that Kathy Hochul is facing an election next year, 2026, an election year. Any thoughts that you might run for the Republican nomination?
Oh, you know, I don't know about that, Joe. Look, I like what I do here in Western New York. I still have some semblance of a life with my wife and my family here in North Tonawanda, Niagara County. I do travel a lot now in this role, but it's a big state. It's a big job. I think you have to really, really have the undeniable fire in your stomach to go do that. I'm happy to support, and I will work to support whoever our nominee is. But at this time, I think the people of Niagara County, Orleans, and Monroe are stuck with me, at least for the near future.
All right. And now the real final question, 6:30 tonight, Bills Chiefs. What are your thoughts?
Boy, this might be the hardest question. You know, I was really nervous last week. I was very concerned about the Ravens and just the way that matched up. I feel better about how we match up against the Chiefs. Obviously, we beat them here in Buffalo early. We know this team. Josh Allen always plays well. You look at his numbers against Mahomes and the Chiefs, always plays well. I have to believe that this is the year that we're not going to lose four times in the playoffs to the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, for us to get to the Super Bowl, we would have to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'd have to beat them in their own stadium in Arrowhead. So in that sort of poetic way, I think it's all setting up. I actually am going to I'm going to get crazy here. I think it's going to, we're going to win by more than one score. I'm going to pick us winning, you know, 31-23, 31-22, something like that.
Love it. Love it. Well, hopefully we are talking about a Super Bowl appearance. State Senator Rob Moore, always great catching up with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.